Life after the military can be a difficult transition. Many veterans seek jobs in the civilian sector, but often to no avail. Now, a new report by the Merit Systems Protection Board finds that part of the problem is the rules governing veterans' job preferences in the federal government are Byzantine, and they need improvement. Here to discuss how the process might be tweaked is John Palguta, Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. John, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right. So in its report that came out last week, the MSPB is saying these rules are what they call extremely complex, which is pretty strong hyperbole for a federal agency. How bad is it?
Well, I don't think it's hyperbole. It really is, a complex situation. But and this, when you start talking about something that is as time-honored as veterans' preference, people get a little nervous. So I think it's important to upfront understand what MSPB is saying here. The question is not whether or not there should be veterans' preference. Preferential consideration in the hiring process for veterans is has been around since the early days of the government, and it's well established law, public policy, and public sentiment that there should be preferential consideration for veterans. So the what is clear. What MSPB is suggesting is a closer look at the how veterans preference is provided and to whom, for that matter. Has varied over time, and the hiring process in which veterans' preference, is a part of how the process works, that process has changed substantially over time.
And getting back to the question of the veterans themselves, you just mentioned a moment ago who they consider part of this whole complex. And as the board says, spouses, mothers, widows are also eligible in some cases.
That's right, but not fathers.
They're not fathers. So,
The mother of a veteran could get preference or be entitled to preference. A father, not. Apparently, an unmarried spouse of a veteran would not be entitled if they're not officially the wife. So there's the who's entitled question can get a little complicated. But I think it's also very much how it works and for whom. The one thing to keep in mind is that at the end of the day, what this policy is about is making sure that veterans who have served the country, if they're qualified, well qualified for a federal job, that they have a some special consideration. And I will suggest that that's working. Last fiscal year, out of all full-time permanent jobs in the federal government that were filled, 45% of the new hires into full-time permanent jobs were veterans. Now, veterans make up about 8% of the larger workforce in the country. So clearly, veterans' preference is resulting in veterans getting jobs at a rate much higher than their representation in the overall workforce. And so one can suggest that, that's what Congress intended, the policies working. MSPB, however, found that the Merit Systems Protection Board found that it may not be working as well as some intended, where in fact they found that in some cases they found that people believed still that 4.5% of people, federal employees they surveyed, said they were aware of an instance where veterans' preference rights were denied. But then they also found 6.5% of the people they surveyed found that there was inappropriate favoritism towards veterans. In fact, in the Department of Defense, 8% of defense employees said, they've gone beyond the law. They're giving improper favoritism beyond what Congress intended.
I look at those numbers and I say, golly, 90% of the people think things are just fine.
Yeah. So
So what is 10% that say 6% see this, 4% see that? That could be just the number of the sort of the noise level of disgruntled people that'll answer any questions if they see something wrong.
Well, there is that. So there's the perception part, and maybe we discount that a bit, as you say. Maybe it's the noise factor, but I, you know, there's still folks who get concerned about, you know, if there's substance to that. But the other part of it is Congress, in setting laws, has been known on occasion to make things a little complex, and they have not just veterans preference laws. They have other laws that they put into place that says, you know, we have a merit-based system. So if you have nothing but veterans who applied for a particular job, for example, your obligation is still to hire the best qualified veteran, not the veteran who needs the job the most, but the veteran who's best qualified for that job. We have diversity goals. We also want to make sure that non-veterans are still entitled to consideration based on merit, and it's not you have to be a veteran to have a job. So it goes, again, very much that question of, well, how does veterans' preference apply? At one point in time, you know, after World War II, the last major update to the veterans' preference laws were in 1944, and it said, okay, well, we there's this test that everybody takes for most of the jobs in government. So we'll simply take the test score. We'll add 5 points for a regular vet, 10 points if you're a disabled vet, to your score, and that's how veterans' preference works. Well, we don't use a central test anymore, and we don't rank people under the old rules. You know, you had the top three people you can consider, no matter how many applied. Now we put people in categories, qualified, you know, well qualified, best qualified, and if you're a veteran, you go to the top of the category. If you're a disabled vet, you still go to the top of the group. But when we at the partnership talked to chief human capital officers around government, we found that they were concerned that because the process has changed so much that, the intent of Congress was actually, not being followed, in that in some cases veterans' preference became an absolute, that they could not reach non-veterans. Because in the category, they had 1,000 people apply, and there were so many vets that there was not an ability to reach non-veterans, and that was going contrary to
the merit principles.
Some of the merit principles, and also some of their diversity efforts. So it becomes more complicated than it appears on the surface. Again, it's not should we provide veterans preference. That question's decided. We should provide it. It's really how. And I think the Merit Systems Protection Board report is actually doing a very good job of – and they're not recommending, any specific changes. What the Merit Systems Protection Board is saying is we've looked at the how, and there's some real questions here. And – this report is to inform Congress and the administration as to what's going on so they can consider whether or not they want to modify the how, not the what again. We're going to have veterans preference, but how should we be providing it, and are there some unintended consequences in the evolution of the hiring system but not the evolution of the underlying laws.
We're speaking with John Palguda. He's Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. And is this not also complicated by the fact that veteran means many, many, many things? It could mean someone coming out of the military who has blue-collar skills. And let's face it, if you're an officer and you have some years of standing, you can get jobs at think tanks and consultancies and other types of companies marketing to the federal government and go in at a very high level because of the managerial responsibility you've had running a platoon or a brigade or some large piece of the military or one of the armed services. And also, the jobs available in the federal government tend to be more and more managerial, tend to be more and more knowledge worker. There's no more manufacturing jobs to speak of. and janitorial and blue-collar type of work in the government. So the mix of people coming in as veterans is changing, and the job mix has changed drastically in the last 75 years.
That's absolutely right, Tom. And in fact, I think in that 8% of folks in Department of Defense who said they saw some improper favoritism, I think a lot of it was directed towards the hiring of retired military, people who've had a full military career. They know, the department, obviously, and they're retiring from the military and going immediately into a high-level civil service job. Now, there used to be a 180-day waiting period before that would happen, but then after 9/11, there were some waivers. So now folks are saying, well, it's not that, we definitely need to respect the service of these individuals, but it was not Congress's intent to entitle them to move directly into a civil service job without, more competition than there seems to be in some cases.
So what can we do now? Is there anything that can kind of solve this for the immediate future for federal hiring managers to give them some clarity?
This is a very complex situation, Tom, and I think what we do now is what you and I are doing right here. We start a dialogue around the how is veterans preference best provided. And keep in mind, we also have some veterans preference hiring authorities, which provide special consideration. There's not an easy solution, and ultimately Congress will have to decide what do they actually want to have provided to veterans. So I think we're at the best place we can be right now, which is we've got some very careful analysis being provided, some information, and I think we need to have a larger dialogue around how do we want this thing to work? We want to provide preferential consideration to veterans. Are we doing it in the best way possible? And if not, what changes should be made?
And John, briefly, while we have you, the Service to America Medals Dinner is coming up pretty soon. Tell us the details, the date, and what's going on there.
Yes, one of our favorite things, Tom, and I know you've attended many of these, it's on Monday, September 22nd. And it's going to be another gala affair. We'll have several hundred folks. And it's going to be at the Mellon Auditorium. It's invitation only. So if you want to just show up the door, you can see people go in. But we're going to have number of agency officials presenting awards to their employees. This is the one night of the year where it's not the elected or the presidential appointees who are being honored. They are honoring their career employees. It's dinner and awards, Monday, September 22nd, Mellon Auditorium. We have...
All right. Well, I'll be there.
A lot of good stuff going on.
All right. John Palgut is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. As always, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.